Good morning, and welcome to Tech News Briefing, your daily dive into the most compelling stories shaping our digital world. I'm Arjiv.
And I'm Arohi, ready to bring you the headlines.
Before we jump into today's news, let's take a quick look back. On this day, March 27, in 1971, the world got its first public demonstration of the Intel 4004, the groundbreaking microprocessor that truly kicked off the digital age, a monumental step in hardware innovation. Fast forward to today, and we're covering everything from memory chip giants and AI advancements to cybersecurity alerts and retro tech revivals. We're sourcing our insights from Ars Technica, Hacker News, TechCrunch, and other leading publications. Let's get right into it. Arohi, let's start with a significant development in the hardware sector that could impact everyone from gamers to enterprise users. We're hearing about a potential shift that could help end what's been dubbed RAM-mageddon.
That's right, Arjiv. Memory chip giant SK Hynix is reportedly considering a blockbuster US IPO. The aim is ambitious, to raise between $10 and $14 billion. This capital injection isn't just about corporate growth, it's critically intended to help the company build more manufacturing capacity. In a market plagued by persistent memory shortages, often referred to as RAM-mageddon, an increase in production from a major player like SK Hynix could significantly alleviate supply constraints. Beyond its own expansion, a successful U.S. listing could also encourage other memory manufacturers to follow suit, further boosting overall market capacity and potentially stabilizing prices.
That's a massive development, Arohi, with wide-ranging implications for the tech industry and consumers alike. It reminds us just how interconnected the global supply chain is. And speaking of the impact of these shortages, we're seeing ripple effects in consumer electronics, aren't we? Specifically, the gaming world is feeling it.
Absolutely, Arjiv. The memory and storage shortages have indeed made many types of consumer tech more expensive, and Sony's PlayStation 5 is the latest to see a significant price adjustment. Reports indicate that Sony is raising PlayStation 5 prices once again, this time by a substantial margin, ranging between $100 and $150. This marks another increase for the popular console, directly attributed to the ongoing challenges in securing sufficient components, particularly memory and storage, which are essential for its production. It underscores the broader economic pressures facing hardware manufacturers.
That's certainly tough news for gamers, and a clear sign that these supply chain issues are far from over. From the foundational hardware that powers our systems, let's pivot to the intelligence being built upon it. Artificial intelligence continues to push boundaries, and CERN is making some fascinating strides, isn't it?
Indeed, Arjiv. CERN, home to the Large Hadron Collider, is leveraging tiny AI models that are literally burned into silicon for real-time data filtering. This is a crucial innovation. The LHC generates an astounding volume of data from particle collisions, far more than can be stored or processed traditionally. By embedding these highly efficient AI models directly into the hardware, CERN can filter this massive data stream in real time, identifying the most significant events as they happen. This allows physicists to focus on the truly interesting phenomena, accelerating discoveries in fundamental physics without being overwhelmed by data. It's an incredible example of AI's application at the cutting edge of scientific research.
That's a remarkable example of how AI is being deployed in highly specialized, high-stakes environments. And it highlights the growing trend of AI moving beyond traditional software applications and into the core of hardware. Shifting gears to more general AI development, OpenAI has been making moves with Codex, their AI programming tool. What's the latest there?
OpenAI is expanding the capabilities of Codex, traditionally known for generating code, by introducing a new plugins feature. This move officially takes Codex beyond just coding. With these plugins, Codex can now interact with a wider range of external services and tools, much like other advanced language models on the market. This development closes some of the functional gap with competitors such as Claude, who have offered similar plugin functionalities for a while. It signifies OpenAI's commitment to making Codex a more versatile and integrated AI assistant, capable of performing tasks beyond code generation, which could enhance productivity across many digital workflows.
That sounds like a significant evolution for Codex, making it more of a general-purpose AI assistant. This focus on AI agents, whether for coding or broader tasks, brings up interesting questions about how they interact with our existing systems. There's a notable discussion online about prioritizing the robustness of these agents.
Absolutely, Arjiv. There's a compelling argument emerging in the AI community to go hard on agents, not on your file system. This philosophy emphasizes building AI agents that are inherently resilient, fault-tolerant, and designed to manage their own operations and data effectively, rather than relying on complex or fragile interactions with the host file system. The idea is to create agents that are robust and self-contained, minimizing the risk of errors or unintended consequences that can arise from deep, unchecked access to the underlying operating system. It's about building a more secure and stable foundation for the autonomous operations of AI, recognizing that agents should be powerful without being precarious.
That's a crucial consideration for the future of AI deployment, especially as these agents become more sophisticated and autonomous. And speaking of advanced AI models, there's been some interest in the internal workings of competitors like Claude. What can you tell us about the anatomy of the Claude folder?
This refers to an exploration into the local directory structures and files associated with models like Claude, often found within a user's home directory. Understanding the anatomy of the Claude folder provides insights into how these AI models store their configurations, temporary data, user-specific settings, and potentially interaction histories. It reveals aspects of their local persistence, how they manage different versions, and what resources they might be accessing or caching on a user's machine. For developers and power users, examining such folders can offer clues into the AI's operational footprint and its design choices regarding local data management and privacy.
It's always fascinating to peek under the hood of these complex systems. Now, let's pivot to a more serious topic that affects governments and individuals alike: cybersecurity. We've seen significant breaches making headlines recently, starting with the European Commission.
That's correct, Arjiv. The European Union's top executive body, the European Commission, has officially confirmed a cyber attack. This confirmation came after hackers publicly claimed to have stolen reams of data from the Commission's cloud storage. While the full extent and nature of the compromised data are still under investigation, the incident highlights the persistent and evolving threat landscape faced by major governmental organizations, particularly concerning their cloud infrastructure and sensitive information.
A concerning development for a body that handles so much sensitive international data. And it seems high-profile individuals are not immune to these attacks either. We're also hearing reports about the FBI director's personal email being compromised.
This is a significant story, Arjiv, and multiple sources are confirming details. The Department of Justice has confirmed that FBI Director Kash Patel's personal email was indeed hacked. This breach was claimed by Handala, a pro-Iranian hacking group, which stated the attack was retaliation after Patel vowed to hunt such adversaries. The group subsequently published emails they claimed were taken from his Gmail account. This incident underscores the sophisticated targeting tactics used by state-sponsored or affiliated hacking groups, and the critical importance of cybersecurity, even for personal accounts of high-ranking officials. It's a stark reminder that no one is entirely safe from these determined threats.
That's a truly unsettling revelation, showcasing the intersection of personal security and national defense. From these serious breaches, let's transition to developments in software and operating systems. There's an interesting project that aims to bridge the gap between macOS and Linux applications.
Yes, Arjiv, it's called CocoWay. This is a native macOS Wayland compositor designed to run Linux applications seamlessly on Apple's operating system. Wayland is a modern display server protocol, often used in Linux environments as an alternative to X11. CocoWay aims to provide a robust bridge, allowing users to run Wayland-based Linux applications directly on macOS with native-like performance and integration. This project is a significant development for developers and power users who need to operate across both ecosystems without relying on virtual machines or other complex compatibility layers, enhancing interoperability.
That could certainly streamline workflows for many developers. While some are building bridges, others are taking a critical look at macOS itself, with a rather provocative title: Make macOS Consistently Bad Unironically. What's the core of that critique?
The article, Make macOS Consistently Bad Unironically, isn't a literal call for a worse operating system, but rather a satirical, yet insightful, critique of what the author perceives as inconsistent design choices and user experience flaws within macOS. It highlights a common frustration among some users and developers who argue that Apple's desktop OS, despite its polish, often suffers from arbitrary limitations, odd UI quirks, or a lack of unified design principles across different components and versions. The piece suggests that rather than an occasional, bad, feature, a consistent, albeit unconventional, design philosophy might even be preferred over fragmented and unpredictable user experiences. It's a commentary on the desire for design cohesion and predictability.
An interesting take on user experience and design philosophy. From operating system critiques, let's jump into another fascinating software development: browser-based emulation. We're seeing Velxio 2.0 making waves in that space.
Velxio 2.0 is a compelling open-source project that allows users to emulate popular microcontrollers and single-board computers, specifically Arduino, 32 Spanish Pesetas, and Raspberry Pi 3, directly in their web browser. This means developers, educators, and hobbyists can prototype and test code for these devices without needing the physical hardware. It eliminates the setup time, costs, and potential compatibility issues often associated with physical hardware development. By offering a fully virtualized environment in the browser, Velxio 2.0 makes embedded systems development more accessible, facilitating learning and rapid prototyping for a wider audience.
That's a fantastic tool for learning and development, removing barriers for entry. Now, let's talk about a complex intersection of tech, intellectual property, and legal challenges. The promise of AV1, a royalty-free video codec, is facing some questions.
Indeed, ArjiV, AV1, or Omidyar Video 1, was developed with the explicit promise of being an open and royalty-free video codec, intended to be a robust, high-quality alternative to proprietary codecs. However, that promise is now in question. Dolby has filed a lawsuit against Snapchat, alleging infringement related to the AV1 codec. This legal action challenges the notion that simply because big tech declares AV1 royalty-free, it truly is immune from IP disputes. The outcome of this case could have significant implications for the future of video streaming, content creation, and the viability of open standards in the face of existing patent portfolios. It's a reminder that royalty-free, in practice, can be much more complex than in theory.
That's a critical legal battle to watch, with potentially huge ramifications for how video content is delivered and consumed online. Let's shift gears to something a bit more nostalgic and fun, retro tech and gaming. There's an incredible story about building an open-world engine for the Nintendo 64.
Yes, ArjiV, it's a truly impressive feat of reverse engineering and modern development applied to classic hardware. A developer showcased building an open-world engine specifically for the N64, a console renowned for its limited memory and processing power. This video highlights the immense technical challenges involved in pushing such an old system beyond its original design capabilities, demonstrating clever optimization techniques and deep understanding of the N64's architecture to achieve what was once thought impossible for that platform. It's a testament to the passion and ingenuity within the retro gaming development community.
That's a wonderful example of pushing old limits with new techniques. And speaking of classic games, a look back at Wolfenstein 3D, now played with one hand, reminds us how far gaming has come.
It certainly does. An article titled, "Playing Wolfenstein 3D with One Hand in 2026, revisits the pioneering first-person shooter more than three decades after its release. It's explored not just as a historical curiosity, but also with a focus on its practical playability today, including unconventional control methods. The piece points out that while Wolfenstein 3D remains a landmark title, its mechanics, interface, and design elements now have more than a few rough edges by modern standards. It's a nostalgic journey that also serves as a benchmark for how gaming experiences and player expectations have evolved dramatically over time.
It's always fun to see how these foundational games hold up, and it appears this appreciation for the past isn't just limited to gaming. We're seeing a broader trend of retro tech making a comeback, aren't we?
Absolutely, ArjiV. The article, "Let's Take a Look at the Retro Tech Making a Comeback," highlights a fascinating trend. We're seeing a resurgence in popularity for devices like boomboxes, instant cameras, and even landlines. This isn't just about nostalgia. It's often driven by a desire for simpler functionality, a distinctive aesthetic, or a break from the constant connectivity of modern smart devices. Instant cameras offer tangible, immediate memories, boomboxes provide a shared music experience, and landlines can symbolize a certain reliability or privacy. These retro-inspired gadgets are finding a new audience by offering unique value propositions in a tech-saturated world.
It's a great reminder that technology doesn't always have to be about the newest and fastest. Sometimes, the tried and true has its own unique charm. From retro revivals, let's talk about Apple and an iconic, albeit often neglected, piece of hardware, the Mac Pro.
This is an interesting development for Apple enthusiasts, ArjiV. Apple has reportedly pulled the plug on its high-priced, often neglected Mac Pro desktop. The M2 Ultra Mac Pro is no longer for sale, and critically, Apple has stated that no replacement is currently planned. This marks the end of an era for Apple's professional workstation, which, despite its impressive power, struggled to find a broad market due to its premium price point and sometimes inconsistent update cycle. It signals a potential strategic shift for Apple in its professional hardware lineup, possibly focusing more on its pro-branded laptops and Mac Studio.
That's a significant shift in Apple's pro desktop strategy. Finally, let's wrap up our main stories with a look at health wearables. Whoop, the fitness tracker, is looking to expand its reach beyond elite athletes.
Yes, ArjiV, Whoop, famously endorsed by elite athletes like LeBron James, is now aiming for a much broader demographic, essentially, your mom. Founder Will Ahmed has spent 14 years building this health wearable, traditionally beloved by the athletic community for its deep physiological insights. Now, Whoop is racing against competitors like Aura and navigating regulatory bodies like the FDA to transform its device into something that could one day be perceived as genuinely life-saving for the general consumer. This expansion signifies a strategic pivot to position Whoop not just as a performance enhancer, but as a critical tool for everyday health and wellness monitoring.
That's a fascinating expansion, taking a niche, high-performance product to the mass market with a compelling new value proposition. Arohi, thank you for those insightful summaries and analysis of today's top tech stories.
My pleasure, Arjiv.
And before we sign off, here's a surprising tech fact for you. While we use computer mice every day, did you know that the very first computer mouse, invented by Douglas Engelbart in 1964, was made of wood? It had two wheels to track movement and was affectionately called the XY position indicator for a display system. Imagine navigating your computer with a wooden block. That's all the time we have for today's tech news briefing. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow with more essential updates from the world of technology. Until then, have a great day.